The Holy Gospel of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
On the next day, when the people who remained after the feeding of the 5,000 saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then he said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" And Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who has sent you." So they said to him, "Well, what sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God that is which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of our God, the source of all life, all love, and all light, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. How do you feel about surprises? Surprises. I know we haven't done the confession yet, and you probably can say, I can fib and say, I really like them, and then I'll just confess my sin, my fib, a little later. Plus, I already know the answer to this question for many of you based on your response to the news of my upcoming departure. You don't like surprises. Just FYI. But let's do a round of, let's show by raising your hand, how many of you really like surprises? I'm glad the two of you are married. This is good. That would be really difficult if one did and one didn't. That's good. That's good. How many are surprise adverse? You don't like them at all? Yeah? Fewer people. So this is definitely the congregation that likes surprises. The 5 o'clock and the 8 o'clock, 3/4 of the people said, we do not like surprises. How many of you are, it's situational? It's like, it depends on what the surprise is, yeah. Or if you could, I like those kind of surprises that you anticipate, so I don't know if they're really surprises or not. But I'm in that category that I really don't like surprises unless I kind of know about them. Which is probably why God, from time to time, put someone in my life who really, 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 really is all about surprises. For example, Matthew, my roommate for all 3 years during seminary. He was not only all about the thrill of surprises, but he himself was one surprise after another. You all know people like that, right? And if you don't like surprises, don't ever agree to get in a car with him, if he's driving, that is. So if a Father Matthew Buterball applies for the rector position here at St. Andrew's, know that he is a great priest, he's a stellar priest, but don't get in a car with him if he's driving. Just don't. By the way, he is one of my best friends, and he has given me license to throw him under the bus, or should I say car, in this way. So although Jesus may have been a better driver than my good friend Matthew, he did seem to delight in surprising people like my friend Matthew, especially in the Gospel of John. Given that reality, I'm uncertain if I would have signed up to be one of Jesus' original disciples, at least not with a good health and life insurance plan. Maybe I'd sign up if those things were taken care of. Today's gospel passage is no exception. Jesus comes and encounters a crowd and surprises them with what he says. They, too, have been caught off guard. They have been surprised, and they are upset. And I gather that they don't like surprises all that much. It started actually last week with last week's gospel, the miraculous feeding of the 5,000, which, when you think about it, isn't too bad of a way to experience a surprise, to get a free and unexpected dinner when you're hungry. That's a good surprise. I like those surprises. But as we noticed last week, right after the miracle, Jesus vanishes, leaving them behind, feeling rather confused and probably disappointed, right? And so they follow him. And they eventually find him on the other side of the lake. And from here on out, things only get worse. First, Jesus accuses them of opportunism. Ah, you're only here because you want another free meal. He scolds. And truth be told, he's probably right. That's probably why they followed him. But Jesus isn't content with being merely right. And so to rub it in a little more, he goes on with his lecture. Do not work for the food that will spoil, he persists. Instead, work for the food that lasts for eternal life. Well, that got their attention. Jesus is trying to establish with them and with all of us that there is more to life than the practical and the physical. There is more to life than the daily routine and the daily hunger for food. In essence, he is telling us that we have been created to love and long for God. His words, compounded by his physical presence, serve to remind us of that. God entered the physical world in Jesus to not only make God's love quite obvious for all creation, but to make it obvious that we are to love and long for God too. We need physical signs from time to time to get our attention. Just think of Moses and the burning bush, right? And as I was leaving the house this morning, there's a post-it on our back door that Jamie put there this past week. And the post-it just says, Mari sunscreen. So that we could remember to put sunscreen in our backpack for preschool, right? We need those physical signs, whether it's for simple reminders or if it's for these big, audacious life realities. That's what Jesus says for us and for the people that he's speaking to. He is that reminder. He's saying, I'll feed you physically and spiritually. I'm standing right here to prove it to you. And he continues to give us reminders of his presence and his love. He continues to prove it to us through physical signs associated with the sacraments, for example. Water for baptism, bread and wine for communion, oil for healing. The physical presence of Christ manifests in this gathered community week in and week out. When we pray privately and corporately, when we pass on the faith to the next generation, when we serve the least, the last, and the lost, Christ surfaces. And it is too easy to look for the presence of God only in the confines of the church or church activities. God has sprinkled the world with leaven, and through its stories, in the lives of people, in the arts, in film, and in music, God is present. And if you look, and if you listen, and are attentive, you will see that the leaven of God is all around us, speaking of hope, speaking of meaning, new life, resurrection. It's all around us. And sometimes we are even surprised when we experience Christ at times and in places where we least expect it, even in the midst of a rector transition. Amen.
Amen.